When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Here's Aaron Boone to lead off. His first at bat of the game. There's a fly ball deep to left. It's on its way. There it goes. And the Yankees are going to the World Series.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 203, Vic Monaco here with you on The Fan. If you're just listening because you're used to turning me on at 2, you missed the open. Go back and listen to it on the Odyssey app, the rewind feature. Frustrating loss. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, I'm mad in the moment. I'll probably be over it by tomorrow. I might be over it by halfway through the show when we start talking Yankees winning the division, because I don't expect anything from this team. Never have. They've actually, offensively, at times, looked better than I thought they would. And Daniel Jones has played better than I thought he would. I mean, I guess that's fair. He's moving much better than I think the knee injury, at least I was concerned about, you know, a mobile quarterback who's coming off a knee injury. I feel like the knee injury really isn't an issue. I think he looks good. I mean, he hasn't really had a big monster running the ball game, but he doesn't need to. He looks like he's mobile enough and runs fine, so I think the knee injury is a thing of the past. I'm not concerned with that. He's been fairly accurate the last two games. He had two games in a row against Washington and Cleveland where he threw two touchdown passes before tonight, which for him is, you know, Dak, it's a bad half against the Giants. For Daniel Jones, it's a big deal. But again, even if it's not all on him, the Daniel Jones-led offense of the New York Giants doesn't score enough points. And watching this game, they had opportunities to score more points. He missed a touchdown throw. He missed three balls down the field. And then the play calling just isn't attacking enough. And he's afraid to make a mistake. Because everyone who defends him and everyone who brings up 2 years ago and the coach and what changed, you know, this quarterback 2 years ago to earn a $40 million contract is, do you know he was the least turned over quarterback in the league? Because he was a turnover machine his first couple years, and then 2 years ago it was like, hey, he never turns the ball over. Least interception in the NFL. How about that? Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Now, that's great. It's great. It hasn't contributed to real winning, and right now it's stifling their offense because they don't go down the field because they're afraid to make mistakes. That's what it feels like to me. Dan Jones doesn't want to turn the ball over. The coaches don't want to turn the ball over. So there's no chances being taken. So there's these long drives that you're trying to be pitch perfect on, and you're trying to make sure, you know, you got this guy, that guy, great. And then fourth and three, we're kicking field goals. Drop pass ruins the drive. Because there is no going down the field making big plays. The Cowboys didn't do much offensively. Lamb's got a 60-yard touchdown, though. Like, that's the difference. That's the difference. Ray in Brooklyn. What's up, Ray?
Hey, Mac. Thank God that the Yankees clinched the division. Aaron Judge is still God, and everything is looking good for the Yankees. I really called about the Giants, but I just wanted to get that off my chest.
Yeah, because, it's a bummer that I was having to split my time, and I still haven't seen really any of the celebration. I'm going to go watch it on DVR when I get home. But, you know, I was unfortunately stuck watching this Giant team figure out a way to lose a game.
Me too, and basically I'm on my way home now, and I'm going to do the same thing because I have the MLB package, so I'm going to watch all the good stuff. Hopefully it makes me feel better. But so about the Giants, listen, I think Daniel Jones is the least of our concerns right now. I think Bob Papa hit on it. 5 drops today. They must lead the league in drops, if not certainly in the fourth quarter. And at the end of fourth quarter, in crunch time, that you hit it on the nail. I love Malik Nabers, but the guy has now cost us two games.
Yeah, well, yeah. I don't know if it's fair to say he's cost them 2 games, but he's got to make those 2
games. Let me say this. I saw this movie before with Odell Beckham Jr., and I'm not saying he's Odell because I think he's better because he's got more character and more integrity from what I've seen in this short span. He's all about the team. He doesn't look like, you know, like the Odell Beckham, like me kind of guy. So I like that. But he definitely You know, Odell used to have big drops all the time. He would make the fancy plays, but we still started out 0-5 for three straight seasons with the guy. So I was glad when he was gone. With Neighbors, I think we got a keeper because, like I said, I think he's all about team and organization first. But this head coach, like, he's more to blame for the Giants' losses because the guy, his identity is supposed to be the identity he brought to this team allegedly in the first seven games when they were 6-1 is to, you know, is to not be conservative, to be ultra aggressive and go for the win. This guy is coaching not to lose and not to get blown out. It's like, hey, I'm glad we didn't get blown out today. You know, it was 20-15. Yeah. No, you need to win. This team doesn't score enough touchdowns, like you said. So when you're there, when you're that close, you have to take them when you can get them.
Yeah.
Like, I'm tired of this guy.
No, I agree. I don't disagree. I was listening to the post game and I heard Paul DeTino say it. Like, at some point, you got to just stand up. And whether it's against the Cowboys or the Eagles or just anyone, like, at some point, even if it's just to prove it to yourself, you got to stand up and say, I got to score a touchdown here. Field goals aren't going to win you this game. Like, you got into a field goal kicking contest. You're not going to win that. At some point, at one of these turns, you had to go for it. Like, he had multiple other ones. I know he went for it once but that was like 4th and 1. Unless it's 4th and 1 or 4th and inches, like, he's not going to go for it. And I heard Schmelk also talking about how 4th and 3 from the end zone is a tough play because there's not a lot of room to make a pass. They haven't run the ball effectively at that point. But like, even if you don't, that first drive coming out of the second half, they go down the field. They get down to the goal, 4th and 3. Like, even if you don't get it, you leave them right there at the goal line, and you're still, you know, within a score. And your defense has played relatively well. Like, at some point, you have to take a chance to put the ball in the end zone. You just have to. And he's just, yeah, I mean, I don't know if he's not playing. He's playing to not get blown out. I don't know about that. I just felt like he had nothing to lose year one. I guess that's really the difference to me, is he had nothing to lose year one. He was coming in with, you know, Dave Gettleman's team, and they were in salary cap hell, as they were more than happy to tell you. He was developing a quarterback. He was working with a quarterback that wasn't his, that he didn't know he was going to even have under contract the next season. You know, it was balls to the wall because honestly, no one was going to hold him accountable. And then last year, suddenly there's expectations. Suddenly you're the team and the head coach and the NFL coach of the year. And, you know, you won a road playoff game. And now you're expected to be back there. And you pay Daniel Jones all this money. And you're the quarterback guru. And suddenly, now there's pressure to make sure this offense works. And, oh, you know, now I don't want to. What if this play, what if it doesn't work? What if I blow the game by making this call? But I think he's got to get over that because at this point, like, they're just not, and Daniel Jones, to be fair, again, I'm not trying to kill Daniel Jones, and you just said it's the last of the concerns. The quarterback is never the last of your concerns. Never. Right? And I'm sorry, unless you're, when you have a game where you didn't score a touchdown, the quarterback isn't the last of the concerns. I'm sorry. When the quarterback had a touchdown to Slayton, and when I say underthrew, I mean, he underthrew the defender. It was a horrendous throw. He had Neighbors down the field. It wasn't as wide open as Slayton. It wasn't a touchdown, but he really didn't give Neighbors a chance to make a play on the ball because he dreadfully underthrew it. Like, you have to make those plays in the NFL. You just have to make them. And that's the difference between even Daniels, right? And that now they've gotten beat by Washington and Dallas, right? And Hurts is in Philadelphia. Like, look at the quarterbacks. And look at Daniel. I know it's only one game, and he wasn't able to put the ball in the end zone against the Giants, like I'm complaining about Daniel Jones, and they managed to win the game. But he's got a defender bearing down on him. He's about to get absolutely annihilated. And he stands there and throws a beautiful deep ball in the bucket. In the bucket to McLaren, who had tougher defense on him than Slayton had in that moment. He missed that pass on the offsides. Like, that's the difference. Daniel Jones had a clean pocket, stepped up, and underthrew a touchdown, and Jaden Daniels got run over a second after he let it go, and in tight coverage in the back of the end zone with about 6 inches of space to make it perfect, and he put it right on there for a touchdown. Those are the plays that franchise quarterbacks make. And I'm not trying to make it about Daniel Jones, because you're right in many aspects. He was fairly good in this game. He was accurate. He didn't make any mistakes. They didn't punt. They punted one time in this game. He was moving the football. And yes, at the end of the game, he put the ball perfectly right in neighbor's hands. On the run, throwing against his body because he's running to the left. Pitch perfect. And neighbors dropped it. But this offense just doesn't go down the field. And when they did, he failed at it. And that's part of it. Steve in Holmdel. What's up, Steve?
Hey, how you doing? Just wanted to make a point about Daboll, team of Daboll. But before I say that, I just want to say, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same. The Giant offensive line tonight, I know they pass protected. Their run blocking was pathetic.
Yeah.
Guys, the backfield, you know, that used to happen with Barkley a lot. He'd get the handoff, and it would be a three-yard loss. I mean, that was ridiculous. But the more important point I wanted to make is, look, the Giants aren't making the playoffs this year. It was nothing that, well, you know, to me, it's all about the growth of the players that are part of the future. And right now, it seems like there's a disconnect between Shane and Daboll. In 2022, Shane drafts Bellinger. Last year in the fourth round, he drafts Hyatt in the third round last year, and this year Theo Johnson in the fourth round. Does Daboll know how to spread the offense out and get the ball to a tight end?
Yeah.
When you run the ball, I mean, Jake Ferguson was drafted in the same round as Bellinger, but lower. He's an integral part of the Cowboy offense. I mean, you can't run. They're going to wear neighbors out. He's not going to make it through the season because he's catching out balls that you should be able to complete an 8-yard gain to a tight end. I mean, neighbors isn't even averaging in today 10 yards a catch.
Yeah.
It's because he's running. What batters? I mean, down in the end zone. The other thing is, they've got third and goal from the 8-yard line. Can you throw the ball in the end zone?
Yeah.
You have to throw 4 yards.
They don't throw the ball in the end zone. He doesn't, and I meant to say that. You're 100% right. They don't throw the ball in the end zone. They just don't. They don't throw the ball in the end zone. It's ridiculous. And you're right. You like to incorporate the tight end. Absolutely. And zero. Theo Johnson, one catch on one target. Hyatt, one target. These are draft picks that you build your team on. Like that's how you build in the NFL, the third. You're supposed to, you know, for the most part, there's always bust, especially if you're taking a chance with a quarterback or something. But for the most part, the first round is supposed to be somewhat of a given. You know you're getting some kind of football player. You build this team with your third, fourth, fifth round picks. And they've got tight ends who they don't use and Hyatt who has been relegated to, you know, the end of the game. Let's see if we can get our speedster down the field. Like, that's it. I think that's fair. Now, I don't know if it's a disconnect or just the players haven't panned out. But I'll tell you what, I thought Theo Johnson chased down a defender on what was eventually called an incomplete pass, but on Wando Robinson, on that drop ball that was scooped up, he hustled his ass all the way down the field and made a tackle at like the 4-yard line. That jumped out at me about him, that's hustle, and he had speed to catch a defensive back. So, yeah, I'd like to see the tight ends more incorporated in the offense. I'd like to be able to run the football better than 24 carries for 26 yards. 24 carries for 26 yards, and you're right about neighbors too. Like, I understand Wandale Robinson had 11 catches in this game, too, on 14 targets. They spread it around a little bit. 3 for Slayton. Tracy and Singletary each had one. Johnson had one. But Malik Nabers, again, he's an explosive player. And while 12 receptions for 115 yards is great in your PPR fantasy league, less than 10 yards per reception is not good enough. It's not utilizing his skills. And you're getting him banged up. You're getting him tackled 12 times for 115 yards. And we saw him multiple times. We saw it looked like he took a helmet to the thigh. He was down for a while. He's going to get beat up. You've got to be able to get the ball down the field with him. You got to be able to get deep passes, touchdown passes. You have to be able to do that. I totally agree. 12 receptions for 115 yards. It's not enough. It's not enough game-breaking plays. It's not enough explosive plays. And you're going to get him hurt. He's already got a concussion. Now, it seemed fluky on that end of the play. It's not like he took a helmet-to-helmet hit or anything. It's him falling to the ground after a sidelines catch. But he took multiple hits in this game. I don't need him having 12 catches for 100 yards. It sounds great. I'm not trying to knock it. But at the same time, you're right. You're getting them banged up for minimal reward. Go down the field. Kevin in Newark. What's up, Kev?
Hey, what's up? Good morning to everybody. But I just want to say this. I want to piggyback off of what you just said. You can't win a war with one weapon. I'm sorry. They've been doing this for years. They didn't incorporate high enough. Like, I feel like when you have a player who has the speed, who has the height, who has the probability of having been better than a little guy who you're throwing the ball way over his head. I mean, Robinson is good, but he's not that tall. You're setting him up for failure. You're not utilizing him in the slot correctly. So I kind of put it all on coaching. He has to be able to coach more than one player. This is a team game. If you keep targeting one player, team's going to lock in. You're only showing one dimension.
Well, I mean,
you have to be multidimensional in this league.
Yeah, well, they couldn't run the football, so that's the problem. But, I mean, I like Robinson had one less target and one less reception. It's not, you know, I mean, he did at least between the two of them spread it around. It wasn't all Malik Nabers. The passing game did go between him and Wandell, and Slayton had three receptions and on five targets.
Slayton. He's a veteran who's dropping passes year after year, and it's not a veteran move. I'm sorry. I think that was poor decision for them to keep him and hold him. Like, he's not helping the team. He's hindering them. These young boys need somebody who's going to go out there and show them how to show up.
Yeah, I don't think they have a better option right now. Like, you want to strictly play Hyatt because he's fast and tall? I mean, you think you know better than the coach? I don't like to make those assumptions. There's a reason he's not on the field, and it's not because he doesn't like him personally. Like, I don't know why Dable's not playing him much. I don't know why he's relegated to, you know, one target a game and hardly playing. I don't know why, and why Slayton's getting all the snaps over him. I don't know why, but I promise you it's because the coach thinks it's what's best. And I don't know how we can argue it from 1,000 miles away. Tyler in Long Beach. What's up, Tyler?
Hey, C-Mac. What's going on?
What's up, buddy? Good. How are you?
I thought you put it perfect. You have zero expectation of this team, so
yeah,
it's sad. It's the Giants. They're the number one. They're, you know, there's nothing better than football, but you become like numb to it at some point where it's the same song and dance every single year.
Yeah, I mean, they're 1-3 again, and their schedule ahead of them is, I mean, they're playing Seattle in Seattle, who's undefeated. We'll see what happens this Sunday, but you're going on the road to Seattle. Then you're playing the Bengals. Then you got Pittsburgh. I mean, like, the schedule ahead, they're 1-3. They're staring at 2-6, man.
And it's not looking great.
It's not looking good at all.
The 14 of 15 from the Cowboys, I feel like it's the Max Scherzer error when he was on the Nationals and he just pounded the Mets year after year after year.
Yeah.
But I just want to talk about the Jalen Hyatt stuff. I feel like it's becoming with the fan base where we think that he's going to be good and, you know, like, we know something that Daboll doesn't.
Right.
But it's just mind-boggling that they traded up for this guy. So they had to see something in him. He doesn't even get on the field. And then I feel like at some point the arrow's got to be pointed at Shane. If you start looking at these draft picks, Joe Shane loves talking about how they're one of the youngest teams in the league, mm-hmm. and how a lot of these young guys get all these minutes. All right, they get all these minutes, but no one produces. Deontay Banks, we're 4 weeks in, he's got 3 TDs against them already.
Yeah,
he's great at shadowing people. He's got no, like, ball awareness. He's great. He's a great shadow. When the ball's thrown to him, it's caught.
Well, the touchdowns, I do want to give him a little bit of a break because, like, the one I thought was tough.
Yeah, they're number one.
Like, I mean,
they're number one.
It's Justin Jefferson, but then you got him on press coverage at the 3-yard line where all it takes is a quick slant to Justin for a touchdown. Like, that's to Justin Jefferson for a touchdown. That's a tough ask.
Absolutely. Impossible coververage.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. I'm taking my frustration out on him.
I get
There's so many
I
other draft picks that it's just.
No,
it's just the 100%. Same song and dance every year. We're 1-3.
Yeah.
We're going to Seattle, 10-game break. Like, it just, and then what do we do? What if the Giants are bad this year? What does John Mara say for? What are we going to change Shane and Dable again and start over again? You can't.
I don't know. I honestly don't know. But it's getting to the point where we're going to have the conversation again. I hate having it. I'm tired of having it. We're going to have this discussion about whether or not twofold. We're going to have a twofold discussion within a few weeks. One, when do you stop playing Daniel Jones in fear that you're going to get him hurt and he's going to be on the team next year and his contract's going to be locked in? Because he always gets hurt. And even if he plays relatively well, you need that option. You need the option. You need the option of getting out from under that contract. I'm sorry, he's not that good. He's not so good that I don't. He's played so well that I no longer concern myself with his contract. He ain't that good. He played very well in this game. He's played pretty good the last 3 weeks. He still missed every big throw. I mean, he missed the 3 big throws of this game. One in particular that's a touchdown to Slayton is just inexcusable. But other than that, I thought he's played relatively well. But you're going to need to be able to get out from that contract. And then, two, are they better off just losing games? We're going to get into the tank conversation. I mean, I'm going to give them another couple weeks, but I mean, you're talking about, like, if they're 1-5, what are we doing? What are we doing? You want to continue to see progression? Like we talked about, I heard the postgame talking about it. Hey, well, listen, they were terrible week one. They got better week two, a little better week three. Now, in this game, you could, you know, make a case that the passing attack, like, all right, what does it get you? And let's be fair, to talk to the point about drafting, what does it get you? A top pick that Joe Shane can blow? 100%. Like, Kayvon Thibodeau impacted this game a little bit, but he has certainly not proved to be or played to be someone worth a 5th overall pick or 6th overall pick. Evan Neal can't see the field. And Hyatt, your 3rd-round wide receiver, can't see the field either. Like, it's just, it's a tough situation with the Giants right now. It's a tough situation. And then, of course, at the end of the game, you lose Neighbors to an injury that is scary. Concussions are scary. And we're seeing, you know, obviously with the Tua situation, Ranger fans you've seen with Philip Hedl, like, the last thing you need is someone who is prone to concussions. It's terrible. And once you get one, you're prone to more. And that's, I'm not trying to make it a conversation, but just saying. The last thing you want to see is him leave the game because of that. Don't even know if he's going to be able to play next week. He benefits the idea that he's got an extra couple of days until next Sunday. But right now, if you're looking at the Giants, right? You're looking at the Giants and you're trying to see where they're going. And what's the future of the New York Giants? Yes, they're young. Okay. What do you see? What are the pieces that make you feel good about the future in a division that has Jaden Daniels and Hurts? Two young quarterbacks who, you know, Hurts almost won an MVP a couple years ago, has slowed a little bit. Something's going on there a little bit, but still has the talent. Jaden Daniels is scary as hell, and Dak Prescott just got paid, and you know he's a very good quarterback. Like, and they have Daniel Jones under contract with really no weapons besides Malik Neighbors. And Andrew Thomas, who was very good against us. That's a talking point in this game, too. Against Micah Parsons, was very good in this game. Andrew Thomas was excellent in this game. And this offensive line, his pass protection has gotten really good. They're top half of the league in pass protection. But the run blocking was atrocious last night. Atrocious. Like, where are the Giants going right now? Like, where? Like, forget we talk about identities, right? Forget, what's the future of this team? Like, it's hard to see. It's hard to see where this team is going. And especially if they do continue to get better and maybe find a way to win 6-7 games in a meaningless end-of-the-season run, where does it get them? Where are they? They're in no man's land. They're not as talented as most. The teams that they are as talented as, they find ways to lose games against them. Like, what's good about what's going on right now at the New York Giants? Give me one positive other than neighbors. Like, give me one. It's they're vastly, you know, they're not as good as probably a quarter of the league. And then the teams they play that they are as good at, they lose. They lose when they score three touchdowns and the other team doesn't score any. They lose when they're playing the Cowboys. And the Cowboys really don't have any. I was worried about the Cowboys and their explosive offense. They have one explosive play in this entire game. They can't run the football. And the Giants do everything I thought they needed to do. Control the clock, have long sustained drives. Like, other than run the football, they did almost everything I wanted them to do. And they can't get in the end zone. The coach continues to coach like this. Like, I don't know if they have a coach. I don't think they have a quarterback. I have no idea if the GM has done anything other than pay the quarterback I don't believe in and draft the players I don't believe in. Like, I'm really having a hard time grasping onto anything New York Giant that makes me feel good about anything. And it's week four! I shouldn't be having these conversations. Week four!
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 236. McGonagall here with you. It's just not good to be a Giant fan right now. It's just not. It hasn't been in a long time, man. It hasn't been in a long, long time. Let's be honest. You know, since we're on the long Giant thing, let's just take a second here, too. As much as I think he's a Hall of Famer, even during the Eli era, was it ever really, like, great to be a Giant fan? They went on the two unbelievable runs, so after the Super Bowl championships, yes. But, like, during the regular season, like, it never just was easy. It never just felt like, oh, we're in good hands. Like, there were times that they would get off to these 6-2 starts, you'd feel great, and then they'd fall apart. I remember the second Super Bowl run, they lost the game to the Packers, and I remember being at my buddy's apartment. He had, like, just got an apartment, and we were hanging out there. And that game, I was like, this team's a joke. Like, and then they go on the runs that were great, but, like, it's just never been. Now I'm overthinking it, but it's just a miserable time to be a Giant fan. It really is. It's year in and year out. It's every year. It's every year. Every year, week four, we have to do a deep dive into how we feel about the team's future, where the season's going. Like every we can, I like. It, we broke down the game for a half hour, maybe an hour. We can get into it, and then immediately the philosophical thoughts start to come to you. Like, what are we all doing here? Why are we here? Why are we here? What are we doing? Like, it's never just, oh, great game, bad game. It's always like, it's so bad at the start that you have to question, what's the point? I'm tired of, what's the point? 4 weeks in, I'm tired of it. Man. Peter in Manhattan, what's up, Pete?
How you doing, Big Mac? How are the boys?
The boys are great. Thank you very much for asking. They're doing well, Pete. Thank you.
Yeah, just to follow up with, So the way I look at the Giants this year, I think they're better than last year. So Big Mac, we're going to have the same problem. They're going to win five, six games. Then we're not going to be able to get a top draft pick. So we're going to be back to the quarterback situation. So the question I have for you is, eventually, what the Giants are going to do about quarterback? So let's say the scenario plays out like last year. They don't tank. They win like 5-6 games. They're like 8 in the draft. They can't get one of the top quarterbacks.
Yeah.
What's the solution? That's my question.
Yeah, I don't even know if there is one. I guess if Daniel Jones plays well despite losing, you can give him the one more year. You can get out from Daniel Jones' contract and bring in a journeyman quarterback that you don't expect to win with. Or you can go find the next Sam Darnold, you know. Bring in Andy Dalton off of probably a good run with Carolina this year. Like, I don't know. That's what you do. I don't know. That's when I guess you could do the trade for Bryce Young next year and see what he looks like. And if he's terrible, that's fine. You lose and you try and get back into the top spot for a quarterback. I don't know. I don't know what they do. Thomas in Hackettstown. What's up, Thomas?
Hey, how you doing tonight? I feel your misery, and you've hit all my points that made me feel so lovely this evening about these Giants.
Well, I'm glad you feel lovely.
You know, when you were saying when was a good time to be a Giant fan,
yeah.
You know when a good time was? Obviously, Eli and that run, and I'm joking. When Fossil, I was about 12 years old, and Fossil made the guarantee,
yeah.
And then they won 41-0 at home. That was a good time.
Honestly, that's as good a day. I remember that day very well. That NFC Championship game against Minnesota, where it was over before it started. I mean, you looked up. You didn't even like get a slice of pizza. You looked up, and Greg Camella was getting that touchdown pass in the corner of the end zone.
You know?
Like, man, this thing is the laugher, huh? Like, that was this fun. The Super Bowls were contentious and great when they finally won it, but like in the moment, you're sweating it out. Like, that was just a party that day. You're right. That might be as good a day as it was to be a Giant fan ever, was the party that was that NFC Championship game.
I tell my family, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I tell my family all the time that game is the best game in Giant history, for sure. To watch Wellington Mara with the trophy and the whole shebang, and it was on home turf. The Super Bowl was the Super Bowl. Baltimore was strong.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah, no, the Super Bowl was ugly, no doubt. The Super Bowl was ugly. And then the Super Bowl championships, I mean, the moment when they actually won, you know. The moment when they beat Tom Brady and the undefeated Patriots is as good as it gets. I probably went overboard saying it's never been good to be a Giant fan. That's probably not true. They do have championships. And those two championships are as sweet as any. As sweet as any Yankee championship. That's as sweet. If you are a Giant fan, you have two championships, certainly one, that rivals any. It rivals the 94 Cup. It rivals anything dating back pre-me, 86 Mets, 69, the Super Bowl III. Now, I don't know, it was such an upset, and Joe Namath was kind of an icon, but it's only Super Bowl III. I don't know what it was perceived to win the Super Bowl back then. Like, I wasn't around, I have no idea. I have no idea how big a deal it was to win the Super Bowl. I know it was the AFL's coming out party and helped the merger, and it was a huge upset, and, you know, Joe Namath was kind of an icon, but, I mean, that's what you're talking about. The Knicks beating the Lakers in 70? Like, that's as good a championship as we've ever had, but even then, they weren't a dominant football team. You know what I'm saying? Like, the Giants were never just like the Chiefs are now, even without the championships, or as Eli's brother, Peyton, was. Like, he was never like, oh, yeah, no, we're Peyton Manning and the Colts. We win 13 games. Now, we might disappoint in the playoffs, but, you know, we're going to score 40 points a week. We have Peyton Manning. They're going to win. We're going to win the division. We're going to win 13, 14 games, and then hopefully we'll win the Super Bowl. And, you know, it's not been like that. It's not been like being a Packers fan, where you go from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers, and it's like, yeah, no, we win 12, 13 games. We win the division. We dominate our division year in and year out. And, you know, we fail too much in the playoffs, but, you know, we'll be 15-1 welcoming the Giants for a playoff game. Like, that's, it's never been like that. It's never been like, oh, the Giants are just the dominant football team. Not since the 80s and 1990. That's the last time. But, again, I'm probably wallowing in my misery a little bit too much. Those championships are as good as it gets. I mean, I'm literally saying it's not good to be. I got Fliegelman on the other side as a Jet fan. Yeah, it's worse to be a Jet fan. There's no doubt. It's much worse
Jets
to be a Jet
Mets
fan.
Sit there crying, Yankees Giants fan.
Yeah, I know. I have it rough, don't I? But don't you understand how miserable it is to be a Yankee fan, Fleegs? They're run by imbeciles.
One whole year without the division.
They're run by imbeciles. They haven't won a championship in 15 years. I mean, it is tough being a Yankee fan. Don't say anything else.
The guy running the Yankees only has 4 World Series championships.
Yeah, but no, Gene Stickmichael handed those to him. You know that. Come on. Stop it now. Todd in Tom's River. What's up, Todd?
Big Mac.
What's
love
up?
Love you, brother.
Love you too, man. What's going on?
87, 91, 08, 12. How bad can it be to be a Giants fan?
Yeah,
come on.
I'm not saying it's bad to be a Giants fan. I'm just saying it's never been, even when it was good, it wasn't like, oh, we're dominant good. Like, the best Giant team I've ever seen, bar none, is the 08 team after that first Super Bowl. They were a dominant force until Plaxico had the incident in the club. Like, that's that was as good a team as they've had in my life. They were on their way to being the one seed. I know they were the one seed in 2000, the year they with the NFC Championship game. That team wasn't nearly as good as that 08 team was. That's the best team I've ever seen. And ultimately, they didn't even win a playoff game.
I'm laying in bed in my double Super Bowl win Eli Manning jersey, holding my Duke football. I know you know what that is.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
you've taken it
to another place here, but I got you. I'm gonna try to avoid the puns.
Big Mac,
yes,
Mac,
yes.
My dad passed in '86. I wore his beanie, his beanie cap the whole year when they won the Super Bowl in '87. Yep. He didn't get his team win ever, but I wore his ski cap the whole time. Bro, I'm sorry.
I thank you for the call, Todd. I understand. I had a picture of me and my father. I was young. I was wearing this ridiculous big orange sweatshirt. I don't have any memory of it, but I know the picture very well. And I carried it with me through the entire 2003 Yankee postseason. And I was convinced that it led to the Aaron Boone home run. That's why I actually talked about this with Craig. Maybe that's why I'm such an Aaron Boone shill. Because that moment was very emotional for me, the first Yankee postseason without my father and that home run. And so I understand you were wearing his beanie. I was carrying around a picture of me and my father. The year he passed, it can be emotional. I understand. I think back to that time, and then, of course, Aaron Boone couldn't get a sacrifice fly in the World Series as they got taken down by the friggin' Florida Marlins and Josh Beckett. Kelvin in Bergen County. What's up, Kelvin?
What's going on, my man? I went to the game today, and I felt exactly how you feel. I do not know the future of the Giants. At all.
I don't know where they're going as a franchise. I just don't know where they're going.
And another thing, too, you mentioned earlier, you were like, oh, maybe it's because you're the... Nope. I have not seen a dominant Giant team in a long time at all. Like, we haven't gone 14-2.
No, we don't have those kind of seasons. That really is a nitpick complaint. I'm just saying, like, it's never been... Like, even when they won championships, it was almost like they had to win them out of nowhere. Like, they haven't had a dominant team that won a championship since 90.
Yeah, but you're still right. Like, we still haven't been down. Like, look at the Cowboys. The Cowboys have made, even during the 20 Rumble years, they still made the playoffs with a great record.
Yeah.
Even though they didn't win those years.
Yeah.
We were like 9-7, you know, like just barely getting in. We never had a dominant team at all. Like
no.
That.
Never have.
But
memorable lifetime. No, not really.
I'm with you, man. I'm so depressed.
Listen. Yeah, good.
I know that Daniel Jones is not the answer. I told you before, I'm ready to move on. I've been ready to move on, and we're going to have to honestly suck it up this year. But next year, who knows what's going to happen. But it is what it is. We're just going to just eat it right now, you know?
Yeah, again, like... The Daniel Jones thing is tricky for me last night because ultimately you look at his numbers, he had a good game. And yeah, if I'm looking to point the finger at people, I don't know how many I would get to before him. His wide receivers dropped a bunch of passes, no doubt. But ultimately, and I would definitely point my finger at the head coach before I pointed at him, no doubt. Dable has more to do with this loss than Daniel Jones does. But this offense, like, as good as it, as many yards as they had in the passing game, like, it doesn't take chances. It doesn't go down the field, and they're good enough to do it. Like, it feels that way. They have neighbors. They have, you know, Hyden who can get the field, get down the field. Slayton get down the field. Slayton has a touchdown. Like, again, we could say, oh, the quarterback's not the problem. The quarterback cost them a touchdown. He's got to make that throw. It's okay to say that. It's okay to say that Malik Nabers has to make that catch on the sideline at the end of the game. He absolutely has to. He has to. He has to make the catch in Washington. He has to make this catch. 12 catches for 115 yards. Great. He dropped the biggest catch he had. The one he needed to catch, he dropped. And these like the long sustained drives, it was the right way to try and go about beating this Cowboys team if you needed to slow down the offense. They didn't even need to slow down the offense, but they've got to end in touchdowns. And you've got to throw it into the end zone occasionally. It's just the offense was efficient. Daniel Jones was efficient, right? 29 of 40. That's over 70%. He was completing 70% of his passes. He didn't turn the ball over. Okay, bravo. Like, that's what we're looking for. Like, that's Daniel Jones in a nutshell. And you know what that is? Do you know what kind of quarterbacks you say, hey, complete 70% of your passes and don't turn the ball over? You know who you say that to? Journeyman. Game managers. You don't say that to the quarterback you're paying $40 million to go win you football games. Like, that's the problem. That's my problem with him. That's my problem with the way it's being coached right now. Daniel Jones is being talked to like he's a young quarterback with a super talented team. Hey, be accurate. We're gonna give you short throws. We're gonna give you easy throws. You got a stud wide receiver on the outside. Complete 70% of your passes and don't turn the ball over, and we'll be just hunky dory, okay? Instead of go win us this freaking game, Daniel. Like, that's the difference. And if I'm paying a quarterback $40 million, I want it to be a quarterback that I can say, go win the game. Daniel Jones, I don't trust to just say, go win me the game. And they don't trust him either. And that's the problem. Kevin in Perth Amboy. What's up, Kev?
Hey, what's going on? Just getting back from the game. It was electrifying in the beginning. Great opening for a Thursday night in MetLife Stadium. But I will say, you know, the lack of confidence in Daniel Jones, I just feel like the guy has no vision. The fans in the stands were calling out open receivers. Dallas, you know, just put up a show, you know, defensive-wise versus, you know, the offense you saw last week against the Browns. But, you know, no vision, I feel like Daniel Jones has.
Yeah, I mean, he has no field vision. He struggles to get through progressions, but that wasn't so much the problem today in this game. The problem in this game wasn't necessarily his inability to go through reads. I mean, they sprinkled the ball around. Yeah, we had a previous caller talk about tight ends and their inability to get the tight end involved in this game. But again, you know, you've got Nabers 12 receptions, Wandell Robinson 11 receptions, Slayton 3, Tracy and Singletary each got one, Theo Johnson, the tight end, did get one reception. Like, I thought he went through it. I thought he moved the football fairly well, and I thought he was fairly accurate. But they're not going down the field and taking chances. I mean, they're just not. And they're not scoring touchdowns. Like, I don't know how else to put it. The offense was fine, but it wasn't good enough to go win you a game where you had the Cowboys. Like, this defense did a good job. They got after Dak a little bit. I think that Kayvon Thibodeau created some pressures even without getting home. He created, certainly there was one third down where you could see that Dak missed the throw to the tight end because of Kayvon, like, right on his back. Burns had a big tackle for loss. Like, they had too many penalties. Both teams, I mean, just had too many penalties. But I thought the defense, for the most part, if you're going to... I know Lamb, 7 receptions, 98 yards. That's all really on the big 55-yard touchdown pass. and they kept the run game under 100 yards at 80. Dak Prescott does throw the two touchdown passes. One's that swing pass that it didn't get called back. I mean, those are – and the two, like, penalty moments of the game is obviously the face mask that's called on the wrong guy and, you know, Bellinger gets screwed on it. And then the touchdown where I don't know what the call was, but a man downfield or whatever, but the flag's thrown. And then the touchdown's it looks like the touchdown's going to be called back on that swing pass, and it counts for the first touchdown of the game. Like, those two plays could swing it a little bit, but ultimately, like, if you hold Dak Prescott to 221 yards, two touchdowns, I mean, it's not a – you got no turnovers, and he went 22 of 27, so, I mean, it's not a great performance necessarily, but, hey, you held the Cowboys to 20 points. And you could tell, you want to talk about the one-trick pony, the one weapon. You know, I had a caller before saying you can't win with just one weapon like neighbors. But, I mean, CeeDee Lamb is pretty much, I know Ferguson has seven receptions as well, but CeeDee Lamb's the one explosive player they have. The difference is he made an explosive play. The Giants' explosive player got less than 10 yards a catch. That's the difference in this game. 888-808-1019. We're going to get to the Yankees in the next hour here. As the Yankees are the Eastern Division champions, the AL East champs, your New York Yankees. And what you saw from your ace starting pitcher, the lineup, and where this team is headed now with a game and a half up, one in the loss column, over Cleveland for the best record, the number one overall record in the American League, and home field advantage throughout, as they welcome in the Pittsburgh Pirates of three games that are relatively meaningless. And I wonder if all of you who had so much to say about the previous two games and and you can't play like this, and they go out there and have a dominant performance, score a bunch of runs. Yes, with the benefit of the Orioles recognizing the division was over too. It's funny. Everyone's talking about, oh, the division, when do you start to get scared? When is the division over? Well, I'll tell you right now, the Baltimore Orioles had no misconceptions about who's going to win this division.